In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We are in the Gospel of St. John. We'll start chapter 18. In the last chapter, chapter 17, we enjoyed the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ to the Father, and he worked it out like an archpriest, and he taught us how to pray for others, how to feel the responsibility for the salvation of our people. And also he was about the unity of the church and the fellowship of all the members. And he made it clear in many verses that he is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and he wanted everyone to be unified in the same faith in order to catch the glory of heaven. Also, he made it as like constitution for the church. The people of Christ should be different, and they will expect to be rejected in this world, and they are kept by the grace of God, and they should stay in this world. They should be present because they have a mission to do. They are the light of the world, as exactly the Lord himself was the light of this world. When Jesus has spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. After this long prayer, he took his disciples and went in the mountain of Zaytun, and he went to a place where he used to spend some night with his disciples. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, being one of the 12 disciples, he knew this place because they went there many times. And as if like a custom they had to do in the night of the Passover, they may spend the night there. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. So Judas planned this bad plan with the people of the altar, the heads of the Jewish people, to catch Christ at that time, because, you know, they will face only just his 12 disciples, but they cannot face the thousands of people loving Christ. So to catch him at night is much easier than to catch him among the people. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" So Christ, you know, as if introducing himself, he met them beforehand because he is ready to be captured now. He is now trying to sacrifice himself for everyone. They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Some of these people never see Christ by their eyes, but you know, they heard about him. So they knew how powerful he is. When he said it this way, "I am he," they were scared because he is such a miraculous person. He could do many things. So they felt scared. But you know, he wanted to give himself and to let go for all the disciples. That's why he introduced himself this way. They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. That's to prove that, yes, he is, because Judas, you know, knew him very well. So they had two proofs now. He said that, "I'm he," and also Judas, you know, approved this. Now when he said to them, "I'm he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." As if, you know, they were not up to this minute that he as easy as this, they can capture him. So again, they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. So he was busy, you know, letting his disciples away from this harsh minute. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. Because he was just praying, saying, I lost no one. So he wanted to release them, to save them in this minute, so they can take him alone to be judged. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my father has given me? Simon Peter, you know, had a sword. They used to these swords for, you know, they may face some scorpions or snakes while in the farms. So he used it angrily. So he cut the right ear of the servant of the high priest. But Christ, you know, blamed him so much, saying, put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my father has given me? That's the plan, the cup of suffering, the cup of bitterness, the cup of saving everyone. I came to this hour, I'm ready for this. So he stopped the fight between the disciples and the soldiers because it was about to happen, but because he surrendered easy, they could capture him easily, all the disciples ran away. Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Ananias first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. You know, they have a hierarchy, and their synod was like 70 members, and the head of all of these was Ananias, but the year before, but still he was authorized to take over many of the problems. Caiaphas was the man in charge at that time, so they took him to Ananias because this man was powerful. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people, as if St. John is reminding us with what had said by Caiaphas, that one man should die for the salvation of others, for the unity of the people of Israel. So he spoke it this way because he was afraid of the Roman Empire, but he made it like a prophecy about the role of Christ as a real savior. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. And this another disciple definitely is St. John. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. Actually, the family of St. John and St. James were well known to the high priest because their father was kind of a rich man. So some relations between the high priest and this family was there. So he was well known. So St. John could take Simon Peter with him to come into the courtyard of the palace of Ananias and Caiaphas. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her, who kept the door, and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? St. John is taking Simon Peter with him to pass through the door of the courtyard. Now the girl, the door person, could see him in the light of the night, that his face was not strange. So she believed that you are one of his people, right? She said it this way, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? because they are coming to kind of judging Christ, and he could see the officers few hours ago. You know, Simon Peter was very much scared at that time, and he never, you know, entered these places. So he left his faith at that time. He was very weak. He said, "I'm not," because he ignored the question, and he kind of escaped the answer. Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. So waiting Christ, waiting to see what will happen for St. Peter and St. John. Maybe John could enter more to see Christ in his prison. But Peter stayed outside in the courtyard, and because it was a cold night, they started to make a fire of coal. So he just joined them, and he was still afraid. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. So John entered deeper level, so he could follow up what's happening inside and could hear the dialogue between the high priest and the Lord himself. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me?" By saying so, Christ proved that you are taking me in the dark, and you are deceiving everyone. You are making a big lie. My teaching was everywhere. All people listened to my teaching. I taught in the synagogues. People could tell you what exactly I had said. So your question is like fake. Why you are questioning me about my teaching? You know quite well what I had said. "Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me, what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." So by this, you know, strong answer, he was telling everyone, "You are making a story of nothing. You wanted me to die. You are planning to kill me." But you know, there is no kind of accusation here. You cannot prove any problem against me. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing." And this also means that if I want to bring many witnesses to say exactly what I have said, I would do it. So you cannot prove anything against me by saying I spoke in the synagogue. So Christ was sure that his position is clear. "And in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Actually, Christ did not say anything wrong. And this start of insulting the Lord, Christ, you know, planned for this. And he was ready to accept all the sufferings, all the insults because of us. And you can see that there is no justice whatsoever in this court. They plan to get rid of him, and they are making stories now. So one of the officers got offended because of the answer of Christ, because it was very strong against the high priest, because this man was lying, giving lies. So he struck our Lord on his face with the palm of the hand. Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me? According to the law of Moses, You shouldn't strike anyone if he speaks in the truth. And also, you have to witness against whatever is said. And you have to take care of your witness. That's why he made use of the words of Moses' law. He said it this way, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why do you strike me? So Christ defended his action, his whatever he said, you know, to prove that you can defend yourself as far as you having the right to defend yourself in a very polite way. But Christ, you know, was ready to suffer. Then Ananias sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. As if Ananias couldn't prove anything, couldn't find anything to prove against Christ, so they have to make something against him in order to kill him. So he sent him to Caiaphas. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" It seems like his face was known because he spent many years traveling with Christ here and there, and many people could see him just beside the Lord. And also because of his accent, they know that he is from Galilee, the area where, you know, all the disciples came from. So they question whether he is the man, you know, the famous man following Christ or different. So they ask the same question again. They said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." That's the second time. He denied knowing Christ because he was scared. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Didn't I see you in the garden with him?" So this man was in the garden, and he attended the minute when St. Peter cut off the ear of his relative. So he thought that this is the man. Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. You know, the Lord told him before that this will happen. But although the Lord, you know, warned him, "Take care, please stay strong in your faith. Devil wanted to take you away." But, you know, Peter was afraid, and because of his fears, he couldn't stand witnessing to Christ. He denied him three times, and the sign came on time. The rooster crowed. Glory to God. Amen.